Yesterday, Saraji explained on Kusalana Dhammana Bhavanaya, Asakata Kriyata, Asatata Kriyata, and Anatita Kriyata. Meaning that when developing wholesome deeds, if one does not develop these wholesome deeds respectfully, if one does not perform these wholesome deeds continuously, if one does not perform these wholesome deeds without stopping, meaning that even though the person is developing wholesome deeds, but the person is stopping in between, it is called pamada, negligence and failure. According to the text, wholesome deeds, in brief, are the three: dana, sila, and bhavana. Dana, giving, offering; sila, observance of morality so as to refrain from misconduct by body and speech; and bhavana, mental development practice in order to develop both the mind and the knowledge. Among the three, the most easiest of the wholesome deeds is dana. And Saraji has been explaining about dana in this meditation center, because most of the people do not know how to perform dana systematically. Many of the people, they have the wish to do dana. They have this wish to do offerings. But usually, most of the people, they do dana expecting personal gain and also fame. Such kind of dana is called dana, but it is not true dana, or it is not real dana. One should perform dana in the way Buddha liked, so that it will be true dana. So, in this meditation center, Saraji has been explaining how one can perform dana so that it will be a true dana. And if one can perform dana systematically, such kind of systematic dana will be a foundation. And just as the Asoka king wrote in this inscription, if one can perform dana systematically, such kind of dana will be high and noble, and it will open the path of Dhamma. And especially, systematic kind of dana can open the path of morality and moral conduct. So in order to perform dana in such a way that it can open the path of morality, Saraji has been explaining how to perform dana systematically in the meditation center. So some of the people, they criticize that it is a meditation center, so it will be enough just to explain how one should practice meditation from both theoretical and practical aspects. So some of the people may argue it that way. Even the Buddha gave discourses starting from dana, which is the easiest among the wholesome deeds. So Saraji has been following the Buddha way by explaining about dana, as dana is the most easiest among the wholesome deeds. Buddha himself give discourses to those who have not done dana. And usually Buddha taught in Anupupikatha, meaning that Buddha gave discourses gradually in series, starting from the easiest of the wholesome deeds. And starting from the easiest of the wholesome deeds, Buddha gradually taught on higher wholesome deeds. First, Buddha started with dana, how one should perform offerings. And after dana, Buddha talked on sila, how one should refrain oneself, how one should control one's bodily action and verbal action. And Buddha went on to talk about saggagatha, that is, the benefits that can be gained by doing dana and sila. Performing dana and sila, one can be reborn in the lives where there are plentiful sensual objects. And Buddha went on to talk about maggagatha. It is the path that leads to the most high and noble happiness, the path leading to the happiness which has assurance and guarantee. By practicing dana and sila, one's dana and sila will lead the person to be at the place or realm where there are abundant sensual objects. So by practicing dana and sila, one can gain happiness and well-being, but such kind of happiness that can be gained as a result of practicing dana and sila, such kind of happiness is dangerous kind of happiness, fatal kind of happiness, if it is too extreme. If one pursues sensual pleasure, one can become intoxicated in the sensual pleasure. And if one goes too extreme, one can end up doing wrongdoings. So Buddha showed the flaws of it, and Buddha led the beings to the path where one can reach the happiness that has assurance and guarantee. So explaining on maggagatha, one can learn the path one should follow in order to gain the kind of happiness that has assurance and guarantee. And in the text, it is said that dānandadanto sīlaṁ samādhātaṁ sakoti, meaning that by performing dāna, one can also practice sīla, morality. Performing dāna enables the person to practice morality as well, meaning that the person who performs dana systematically, whether it is a woman or a man, male or female, the person who performs dana systematically, it is easier for him or for her to practice morality in refraining from doing physical and verbal misconduct. So that's why practicing dana enables the person to easily practice morality as well. And this is why Buddha taught on dana first of all the other wholesomeness. So in the text, there are three factors why dana is explained first. Dana, offering things, is relating to all the people, regardless of race or religion. So most of the people, the majority of the people, performs dana offering. So it is dana is relating to most of the people. Dana offering is common to everyone. And sukarata, offering dana, is easy to be done. It is not difficult. One shares one belongings with others, and this dana is easily done. The kind of dana that is done systematically is the cause to fulfill sila, morality. So based on these three factors, that dana is connected with everyone. Dana is connected with most of the people. It is common to most of the people. And offering dana is easy to be done. It is easy to perform dana. And systematic kind of dana is the cause to fulfill sila, morality. So based on these three factors, dana is explained first. When one performs dana, one should have good aim and objective in doing dana. And also, one should not have attachment on things that one is offering. Not having attachment on one's belongings, one will be free from attachment, lobha, greed. One performs dana for the benefit, for the well-being of others, without expecting personal gain. In this way, one overcomes lobha, greed, and one wants others to be well and happy, so one performs dana with mitta, loving kindness. When one's mitta, loving kindness, is strong, one also have patience, forgiveness, ready to make sacrifices, and the person also have compassion, karuna, towards others. Such kind of person also have prudence, power of reasoning, and also one knows that good deeds bring good results, bad deeds bring bad results. In this way, one performs dana with knowledge, and especially one performs dana for the well-being of others. One is not attached on one's belongings. Wanting other people's benefit and not having attachment on one's belongings, one performs dana easily. The kind of systematic dana with good aim and objective can also enable the person to practice sila, morality. When one is performing dana, one is free from selfishness. One is also free from anger, hatred, aversion towards others. In this way, one is also removing a stream form of defilements. Having the knowledge that good deeds bring good results, bad deeds bring bad results, one also performs dana with knowledge. And such kind of dana enables the person to practice morality. And also, the one practices morality to keep precepts firm and unbroken. So in this way, offering dana has results, immediate results, as well as further benefits. Performing dana systematically, the path of performing wholesome deeds, the path of refraining from misconduct also opens up. So in this way, performing systematic dana, one also opens the path of sila, morality. Systematic dana leading to the practice of morality. That's why Buddha taught how to perform dana systematically. Dana also plays an important role in the factors of a Kalyana Mitta. Dana also plays an important role in the qualities of the Kalyana Mitta. One who performs dana, one removes selfishness and also removes attachments on one's belongings. The one who does not have attachment on one's belongings, who is selfless, can perform dana. So the person who does not have attachment, who does not have selfishness, is also apecho. The person has less greed and less desires. One is not greedy on things. In this way, one can remove lobha greed. Removing greed, one gains happiness. As much one can offer things systematically, as much one can remove greed and attachment. And the person also becomes sandotto, meaning that the person is content with whatever he, she has. The person is content with whatever he, she gets, meaning that the person is not picky or not choosy, but content with whatever he, she has. Contentment is the greatest wealth. If one is content, then one will be happy. And bewiweto, meaning that one enjoys seclusion. One enjoys seclusion of oneself. And asansato, one does not mix up with other people, one does not mix up with other people in the way of seeing, hearing, or giving things, or conversation. In this way, the person does not mix with others. This factor is important for monks as well as lay person. So performing dana is also playing an important role in the quality of a Kalyana Mitta, true companion. The sub-commentator explained that the person who performs dana with the aim and objective of the aim and objective of performing for the benefit of others, wanting others to be well and happy by getting what they want, one offers with metta, loving kindness, wishing the welfare of others, and also one performs dana, wanting to honor, wanting to respect the person who is higher. In this way, there are two objectives of performing dana. One is for the benefit of others, and the second one is to honor and to respect a high, noble person. Having these two objectives, one performs dana, and the donor who performs dana with these two objectives has chetana, good volition towards others, towards beings. Such kind of donor will not torment others, or such kind of donor will not take other people's belonging by force and will not commit things like sexual misconduct and so on. So it is customary that the donor who performs dana with two objectives of offering for the benefit of other and also to honor and respect the high and noble person, it is customary that such kind of donor will never torment others or take other people's belongings by force or commit sexual misconduct. So in this way, the one who performs dana systematically, such kind of dana will be high and noble. It will be pure kind of dana. That's why it is said that dānandadāndo sīlaṁ samādhātō sakkhoti, meaning that performing dāna systematically enables the person to practice morality, and this is the reason that they give, that sadhana, performing dāna also enables the person to practice morality. Not performing dana respectfully, not performing dana continuously, not performing dana without stopping, it may imply that one has to do dana all the time. But it is not so. Dana can be done from time to time, in a timely way, when there is an opportunity or when there is a circumstance to perform dana. If one does not perform dana all the time, then it is pamada, negligence. So one should perform dana when one gets the opportunity, when one can, whenever one can. And it is said that sila is more important, practicing morality is more important than performing dana. There are two kinds of dana. The first one is the offerings, the object that is to be offered. And the second one is the jhetana, volition, which is the cause of dana. When it is said dhanan deti, when it is said that one offers dana, here dana can mean the offerings, the object that is offered. And one should also have jhetana, volition, to offer. Only when there is volition to offer, then dana can be done. Having offerings alone, having things to be offered alone, one cannot perform dana, but one needs jhetana, volition, to perform dana. When one has jhetana, volition to perform dana, then one can easily perform the dana, and thus jhetana, volition, is the cause of dana, and thus jhetana, the volition to offer, can be called dana. The one who has attachment on one's belongings, the one who has greed, cannot perform dana. So in order to perform dana, one should not have attachment on one's belonging. One should be free from greed. So the non-greed that is associated with jhetana, volition, is also included in dana. So it means that aloba, non-greed, the mental state, non-greed, which is associating with jhetana, volition, is also included in the name of dana. So dana is the offering, such as food or clothing, which one aims to offer with uprightness, with jhetana, good volition. When one gets something that is nice, then one has in mind, one has an objective, aim and objective, to offer it to the Buddha or to someone high, and his or her mind, he or she has this knowledge which is upright and which is with good volition. Such kind of offering, such kind of object that one aims to be offered is called vattu dana, the object, the offering. So the jhetana associating with knowledge when performing dana, there are three stages. The first one is pupa jhetana, volition to offer prior to the offering. When one gets something nice, then one aims that one would offer it to someone. So the jhetana, volition, that arises before the actual offering is called pupa jhetana, the volition prior to the dana, offering dana. And when one offers it according to one's aim and objective, one offers happily, and the volition at the moment that one is offering is called moncha jhetana, volition at the time of offering. After the dana is done, one feels happy. There is no regret or remorse, but one feels happy about the practice whenever one feels happy about the dana whenever one recalls it. It is called aparacetana, volition, that is after the offering is done. So in this way, the donor has three stages of cetana, three stages of volition. These are the three factors that the donor has to fulfill. And also there are three factors that the one who received the dana should be fulfilled. The person who received the dana should either be free from raga lust, or it should be the person who is practicing in order to remove raga lust. And the one who receives should be free from dosa, free from anger, hatred, aversion, or it should be the person who is practicing in order to remove dosa. The one who receives the dana should be free from moha, delusion, or it should be the person who is practicing to remove moha. So in this way, the one who receives the dana should also have three factors. It should be the person who is free from who is totally free from raga, dosa, moha, or it should be the person who is practicing in order to remove raga, dosa, and moha. So there are three factors that the donor should fulfill, and the three factors that the one who received the dana should fulfill. Altogether, it makes six factors. So the kind of dana which has all these six factors present, three from the donor side, three from the one who receives the dana, the kind of dana which has all these six factors is called chalanga dana, meaning that the dana which is fulfilled, which is filled with six factors. So the kind of dana that has all these six factors present is very beneficial, that the result of such kind of dana cannot even be measured by Buddha's knowledge. It is said that just as the water from the ocean cannot be measured, in the same way, the results, the benefits of the dana with all the six factors present, the result cannot be measured. So it is very important to offer dana with all three factors from the donor side, that is to have volition prior to the dana, at the time of dana, and after the dana. And also it is very important to choose the person to whom one should perform dana, so that one can have the most benefit out of one's dana. The kind of dana that is done with knowledge, it is high and noble. And the kind of dana with aim and objective to gain Nibbana is also high and noble. So one may think that if one performs dana without knowledge, it will not be dana. But such kind of idea is not right. There are instances when one's dana is true dana, even if he, she perform it without knowledge. At times, one offers with compassion, karuna. At times, one offers with metta, loving kindness. And such kind of dana is also dana. Some children or some local people who do not know the benefits of dana, they offer dana with metta and karuna, loving kindness and compassion towards others, but they lack knowledge. But such kind of dana is still called dana. But there are certain kinds of giving which cannot be called dana. So these are when someone give thing, when someone has to give things in order that he, she will not be tortured or tormented or suppressed, or the kind of giving expecting personal gain and fame, or the kind of giving one gives to one's lover. Such kind of giving is not called dana. It is just giving without, it is just giving that is not meaningful, and one should avoid such kind of thing. Even though one offers dana without knowledge, but if one offers dana with metta and karuna, loving kindness and compassion, it is called dana. So one should perform dana so that it will be at least the kind of dana which is done with metta and karuna, loving kindness and compassion. So one should avoid the kind of giving that one has to give out of fear, or the kind of giving expecting personal gain and fame, or the kind of giving among partners or lovers. But one should offer dana with knowledge, or at least one should offer dana with true metta and karuna, loving kindness and compassion. And one should perform such kind of dana from time to time when one gets opportunity. If one performs dana and stop and does not do dana for a long time, and then again, if one performs it this way, then it is said that one is not performing dana respectfully, and thus it can be called pamada, negligence, failure, heedlessness. If one fails to perform dana, then there will not be bhoga sampatti. One cannot be endowed with wealth, and so on. And Saraji will stop here to give talk on dana, and this will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.